Hello, everyone. Welcome to the BKB Show, that podcast that brings you informative content and inspiration galore. I am Lerato Mimani, and I will be your host for as long as we are together. Agriculture is by far the single most important economic activity in Africa. It provides employment for about two-thirds of the continent's working population, and for each country contributes an average of 30 to 60% of GDP and about 30% of their value export. Arable land and land under permanent crops only occupy about 6% of Africa's total land area, and that is according to research. When I saw this, I was reminded of a tweet by one solutionist. He'll be joining us on one of the episodes when he said, "Many still believe we want land to plant vegetables." Agriculture is only 2% of SA GDP. When we talk land, we talk tourism, property, new cities, hospitality, construction, commercial land, and many more. It's not only about cabbages. Well, I agree with him. We will take it one step at a time. For now, the focus is on agriculture. Agriculture can help reduce poverty, raise income, and improve food security for 80% of the world's poor who live in rural areas. Analysis in 2016 found that 65% of poor working adults are making a living through agriculture. I mean, you know, food is life. Now let's talk about the importance of backyard farming. 2 weeks ago, I came across an article that I found to be shocking, that 13 million of people go to bed hungry every night. That's about 21% of the country's population. And in the world last year, that's 2020, yeah, corona. Between 720 and 811 million people faced hunger. That's according to Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. So good people, let's plan for the future and plant those fruits and veggies on our backyard. We hear people chanting, "We want land, our jobs, Israel led to," which is good. Let's say you successfully expropriate that land. Do you have a plan for it? Are you going to work it, or are you going to sell it to the highest bidder? I know it's none of my business what you do with your belongings, but I believe that we need some education. We need to be educated on how we can go about developing our land. According to the World Bank, in Kenya, since 2016, nearly 1 million farmers, more than 60% being women, are boosting their productivity and accessing markets through partnership with 15 agriculture tech startups. Digital technology are being leveraged to help nearly 50% farmers deliver products to consumers. So more than 60% of women, so inspiring to see a large number of women taking up space in an industry that is considered to be male-dominated. We are now joined by Corey Korir, a graduate of Geospatial Engineering from University of Nairobi, Kenya. He's the founder of Data-Driven Agriculture, an enterprise that leverages remote sensing, geospatial technology to generate, validate information and proffer solutions to farmers and stakeholders across Africa. Hello, Corey. Welcome to the BKB Show. How's the weather there in Kenya?
Hi, Lerato. Thanks so much for inviting me into your show, the BKB show. Thanks. Here in Kenya, we are okay. The weather is okay. We are just beginning the dry season, which will go up to around February 2022. Of course, we are not very sure. This is attributable to, the climate change. On the same also, mid this year, we had a lot of scare. Okay, let me say farmers had a lot of scare with regards to the rains. Most farmers depend on rain-fed agriculture, so there was a scare because rain did not come at a certain time that they were expecting, and there was a lot of scare. But after a certain time, the rains came. So the weather is okay, though. In recent years, the weather has been changing, the climate has been changing, which is giving farmers a lot of scares.
I'm so interested to know about digital farming from the professional point of view. What is digital farming or digital agriculture?
What is digital farming? We always hear that people have gone digital, but in farming, we are a bit left behind when it comes, when it came to issues digital. But I can just say that digital farming in agriculture means use of digital tools in agriculture. Here we mean, use of phones, use of sensors, and so many other digital devices and processes in agriculture. For example, let's say phones. We have phones and we have social media. Are we seeing other sectors moving into the digital spectrum when it comes to use of phones and all that? Agriculture, of course, we did not move immediately to the digital space, but over time we are now moving into the digital space. We are seeing a lot of information being propagated through social media, Twitter, we have Facebook, and we have so many farmers who are on these platforms, and they always get this information from social media. Another thing is about weather forecasting. Right now, there are innovations around weather forecasting. We are using a lot of data to do weather forecasting. And of course, this helps farmers anticipate the weather patterns so that they can be able to plan themselves accordingly. Then you also have precision farming. This is another form of digital farming where we are using, mostly, I can say we are using GPS-enabled tractors. When you say GPS, we're talking about a global positioning system that is using satellites in tractors so that you can be able to plant precisely, putting the seeds on the ground after a certain distance as prescribed by the agronomists and people in the agriculture value chain. We also have a use of remote sensing to monitor crop health. We have satellites that are orbiting the Earth. And these satellites take pictures of the Earth when they are orbiting the Earth. So these pictures that are being taken, they can be transformed into digital tools so that can be able to help the people in the agriculture value chain or the actors in the agriculture value chain to be able to monitor the crops on the farms. Of course, we're also using drones to do a lot of things. It can also be used to do remote sensing and also to spray what we call variable rate application of pesticides or herbicides. We also have, when you talk about again phones, we see that we have a lot of farmers now who have entered into the market space through phones, like sell and buy of agriculture commodities online, the way also other people in different industries or different sectors also do.
How can data in digital technology support small-scale farmers and enable a sustainable food system?
Data in agriculture, they come from different sources. We have data that come from the financial markets. We have data that come from sensors. Here we're talking about remote sensing. We're talking about drones. Then we have data that come from tractors that are GPS enabled. Yes, so data can really support small-scale farmers, and it can also create a sustainable food system. Okay, the first thing is data is used to connect farmers to markets. We are seeing innovations and startups which are innovating, which are creating products that enable farmers connect to buyers directly on an online platform. So when the farmers have their phones, whether smartphones or phones that are not smart, they're able now to connect to buyers, and of course they can now be able to sell their products online. And then we have data from satellites or remote sensing. These kind of data helps farmers to track crop health and inform them on the corrective measures that are supposed to take, of course, to salvage their crops from Now, this kind of data, of course, at the moment we are having a lot of data that comes from satellites. In the past, this data was a bit scarce, but at the moment we are having a lot of companies that are aggregating this satellite data because they are kind of big. But we are having a lot of companies that are now aggregating this data and putting them in a platform where companies, small companies or big companies, can be able to access the data. They can be able now to analyze the data, and they can now be able to transfer the same data or knowledge that has been mined from this data to the farmers, and will enable the farmers farm smartly. And now, this type of data also, of course, data also helps the government to understand what has been planted in terms of agriculture. Of course, this will help them to plan accordingly, so that they can be able to understand the kind of crops that they do have a shortage in, and the kind of crops that they have a surplus, so that if need be, they will plan how to export or import so that they can be able to feed the country. Now, this data that we are collecting from different places, sensors and all that, will help farmers, whether small or large-scale farmers, do what is called precision farming. And of course, when you talk about precision farming, we're talking about putting whatever resources that we have into maximum use, optimizing the resources that we do have. So this data really helps us optimize the resources that we do have at our disposal, and at the end of the day, we reduce wastage. Now, at the end of the day, when we aggregate this data in totality, it will enable international organizations and governmental organizations and also governments to create a sustainable food system in which everyone in an economy or everyone in any kind of locality or country able to get food at an affordable price without hurting the environment.
Okay. In terms of financial capacity, do you think that Africa is ready to move to that space, the digital agriculture, digital farming, the smart farming space?
Financial. This is a very, very broad question, Lerato, but I'll try to answer it. Africa is heavily endowed with the resources. We have a lot of resources, most of which are unexploited. And I believe if we have the goodwill from the government, from our governments, and also a little help from international organizations who understand matters agriculture, then we are able to shift the whole of agriculture sector into the digital space. This is inevitable because we are always being told that the population of the world is going to increase tremendously. And at the same time, our resources keep on diminishing. So what are we supposed to do? And we are supposed to feed these mouths that continue to increase each day. So we need to be very innovative. We need to use digital tools so that we can be able to optimize the resources, the diminishing resources that we have, to be able to feed all these mouths. So we have the financial capacity and capability. And what I can see is that the only thing that we do need is political goodwill and support from different international organizations and organizations that are in the agriculture space.
Is digital farming easy, and which kinds of farmers will benefit from it?
When you talk about digital farming being easy or hard, I cannot say that it is easy or hard, because it depends to the kind of people that you're asking. Because if you're asking all people this question, of course they'll tell you that digital farming is hard, because most of them, I'm making an assumption that most of them are not so used to digital tools. But when you're asking young people the same question, they'll just say it is easy, because for a long time they've been accustomed to these tools. So it depends, and of course digital farming applies to all kinds of farmers, whether large or small scale. But of course in the past only the large scale farmers had the privilege to be exposed to these digital tools. But we are having a lot of innovations in the agriculture sector when it comes to technology and data, and we are getting a lot of startups that are now focusing on smallholder farmers, trying to create tools, digital tools that will enable them do farming smartly. Of course, things like Uber for tractors, which weren't there, you know, it gives the smallholder farmers an opportunity to also test the fruits of mechanization. And we talk about insurtechs, you know, it enables smallholder farmers get their crops or their livestock insured, so that in case of a calamity or in case of something that happens to their crops, then they're able to get compensated for the loss. So a lot of companies are coming and they're affording these technologies to the smallholder farmers. So probably in the next 10 years, we'll be having most, if not all, of these smallholder farmers being exposed to one or two different types of digital tools.
It is known that climate change has impacted farming all over the world. Do you think or believe that smart technology will help farmers deal with these consequences of global warming? And what tools can be used to prevent that?
We're seeing international organizations trying to create approaches where farmers can be able to practice what is called climate smart agriculture. Yes. It is true that global warming and climate change has really affected farming. The predictability aspect of it, which was there before, is no longer there. And bearing in mind that most of African small-scale farmers, they do depend, not even small-scale farmers, but also large-scale farmers, they depend on rain for their farming. And now it becomes a bit hard for them now to plan themselves. But of course, we're talking about smart technologies. We're talking about technologies that help us now forecast the weather and be able to know which days will have which kind of weather, so that the farmers can plan themselves accordingly and react to the weather patterns that have been brought forth by the climate change. Also, another thing with regards to climate change is it brings other aspects like insurance of crops into account. In the past, most farmers weren't very keen on matters insurance, but when the issues of global warming and climate change came and disrupted the way they were farming, it became imperative for them to look for solutions. And one of the solutions they were that was brought forth by startups and companies was crop insurance, and these will enable the farmers get compensated or insured, then get compensated if by any chance a calamity strikes and able to a calamity strikes and they lose their crops or livestock. Now, to create these insurance products, there is a lot of data that is needed from the agriculture sector, that is from the farmers, from the farm itself. There is a lot of data that is needed, and also from the satellite, from the remote sensing aspect of it, there is a lot of data that is needed so as to create tangible products that will help farmers, or that will help these insurtechs and insurance in insurance companies be able to create products that will insure the farmers accordingly and enable them become or these will cushion them against climate change, and it will create resilience and confidence in farmers because they will know if by any chance there is a calamity, then they're able to get insured. So they will not be afraid to invest in their farms because they know even if they do not get the produce at the end of the day, they will be compensated.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Corey, for your contribution, cooperation, and time. That is Corey from Kenya. You can follow him on Twitter. He goes by the name of Corey, the Satellite Farmer, and his Twitter handle is at Corey Corir. And thank you, listener, for listening. Until next time, much love. Take care. Bye-bye. Before I sign out, beautiful listeners, I want to share something with you. So I once wrote on Facebook, I'm not sure if it's Facebook or Twitter, but it's on one of social media platforms. And I think I also said it here on the show that we are global citizens. We speak in one voice and we are united. I also said, you know, I am going to connect to the world. I was asked, how is it going to be possible? I couldn't respond because I didn't have the answer. I mean, I don't even know how I'm doing what I'm doing now, but I believe it's God. I believe God is in control because I trust in Him so much. And as I was browsing through YouTube videos, this video popped up. Please listen to it. I'm not going to play the full clip, but listen.
One of my gifts that I've had since I was a little girl growing up in Mississippi, being raised on a tiny little acre farm with my grandmother, I knew how to pay attention. I was a great observer of life. And I grew up believing that I was indeed for sure God's child. It's because every Sunday I sat in our little church down the road, a dirt road from where my grandmother lived, no running water, no electricity, no vision of hope or possibility. And I would listen to the preacher preach about the Lord thy God is a loving God. And sometimes he would say the Lord thy God is a jealous God. But most important, I heard him say, you are God's child. And through God, all things are possible. So my vision, my perception, my understanding of what it means to be a universal citizen has grown as I came to understand Acts 17:28, my favorite Bible verse that says, in God I move and breathe and have my being. Having that belief system that something greater than me was in charge of my destiny, of my fate, that it wasn't just me alone having to survive for myself, is the rock that has sustained me. When you look at where I've come from, a little town, apartheid town, in Kosciuszko, Mississippi in 1954, where there was no vision or hope for you. My grandmother's greatest desire for me, as she had been a maid and her mother before her had been a maid, her greatest desire was that I would grow up one day and be able to do the same.
Would you like to work for me? Be my maid?
Hell no.
What did you say?
Hell no.
My ability to step into literally the flow and grace that I call God is what has gotten me here. And I consistently mind that, because having a spiritual life isn't something that you can attain because you already are a spiritual life. There is no one else in creation like you. There's nobody like you. And what you've come to do and what you have to offer is like no other. No one brings the level of uniqueness and authenticity that you can bring. Nobody does it like you. And understanding that what you have to offer, what you've come to give to the planet, is your gift, your offering, in a way that nobody else can.